I've got a bit of bling with me, which I'm just putting on, and it's useful bling because this is a compass. And, of course, you use a compass for telling which way is magnetic north. As long as there's nothing to interfere with it, then magnetic north is just over there. Paul acts as though he's got a compass that directs him. It aligns all his thinking. He has a magnetic north, and his north is Jesus Christ. Honouring him, making him known, knowing him, and loving him. Sorry, I'm having difficulty turning this on. Oh, I've got it on, right. He wants other people to know Jesus, to know peace with God through knowing Jesus. He has this, if you'd turn in your Bibles to page 1180, because I'm going to quote from chapter 3 and verses 8. I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and so on. He wants to know Jesus. He wants other people to know Jesus. And this is his magnetic north. Everything he does and thinks is aligned to that. He wants people to know Jesus, to trust him for their salvation. So far here, Paul is focused on the gospel and gospel proclamation. Let's turn back to our passage and have a look at verse 18. He's talking about those people who preach Christ from different motives, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. He's focused on gospel proclamation. I'm not sure if you've heard this quote by Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. I'm actually quite annoyed by this quote. It's got some value, though, hasn't it? Because all our actions should be speaking about the difference Jesus makes to us. We should be changing our lives. There's merit in living a life worthy of the gospel. That will speak of the impact of Jesus on my life. Yet there are, of course, times when it's necessary to use words. And if Francis had not used words himself, we wouldn't have this quote, would we? So the medium is the message. There are times when we have to use words to proclaim the gospel. So the first section of our passage today is about words, about proclaiming the truth about Jesus Christ, Paul's magnetic north. So as we begin to look at this word, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul and the way that he aligned himself to loving you, to sharing you, and for making you known. Help us to learn from what he writes here. May it have an impact on us, on our lives, on our hearts, on our behaviour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, we're going to think about the advance of the gospel. This is in verses 12 to 18. Here, Paul is concerned that the gospel will be heard and proclaimed. It's there in verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. The church in Philippi has probably had a news flash from somewhere. Not sure if Paul was in prison in Rome or if he was in Ephesus, but they've heard that Paul is in prison. And they're really concerned about it. Perhaps they're dismayed and they've been holding prayer meetings to pray that Paul might be released from prison. They will know, of course, that Paul has a habit of getting into prison because that's what happened in Philippi. Some of the members of the church worked in the prison. So they might have been praying for Paul to be released, but he's saying it's all right. He doesn't say anything here about the hardship of being in prison himself, about the discomfort or the awkwardness or how it's preventing him from his magnetic north. No, he refers to his compass and can see that this is actually serving to advance the gospel. It aligns with his purpose and it's all good. Everyone is hearing about it. The gospel is being proclaimed. It's having a positive impact on the Christians around where he's in prison. Normally, of course, one is imprisoned for doing wrong, for some crime, or perhaps like Navalny, for some political reason. But Paul is in prison because his compass was pointing north and he would not be deflected. He would not keep quiet and he would not back down. Paul is so positive about the way it is all working out, even if some are preaching Christ for the wrong reason. Paul sees that as positive. Christ is being preached everywhere. However people are, or why ever people are doing it, it's really positive. It aligns with his purpose and priorities. So the gospel proclamation is Paul's true north. Look again at verse 18. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Christ is proclaimed, and there's no substitute for the verbal gospel message clearly spoken, as he said in verse 12. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. In the next section, verses 19 to 26 is really quite extraordinary. He's discussing whether he might be better off dead or not. And we can see that he is actually quite conflicted. Look at verse 23. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in this body. And perhaps that's surprising when he has this magnetic north and a compass that always helps direct him. But he's discussing two things. He's discussing what he would like for himself, which is that he would actually prefer to be dead and with Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's thinking about his own eternity. And we may often hear about a Christian friend or a great Christian leader who has died, and we're sad, really sad for the loss of them. And we know that those who are left are bereaved, left without their ministry and their encouragement. But for the person themselves, they are with the Lord. Paul is aware of all this, and because of his great love for the church, for the Philippians, and thinking of them and others and for their welfare. He thinks perhaps the Lord still has something for him to do. He will continue with that work. That is his magnetic north, to build up the church. But he makes it clear that whether he lives or whether he dies, Christ will be glorified. So then we move on to the final section, which is verses 27 to 30, about being worthy of the gospel. And it seems to me that as I read this, as he instructs the Philippian church, that it translates directly to us as a church, wherever we are, where we belong, that we are to adorn the gospel, to demonstrate it, and by how we live, show what the gospel means. So verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. It means that all of our lives should be aligned to the magnetic north of the gospel, to demonstrate it, to show it, with the help of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts. And then we'll know that we're not going astray, but we'll be aligned with the gospel. The Holy Spirit can tell us when we're not honouring Jesus, not walking in the light, not behaving in a loving way. The Roman citizens had to live in a manner worthy of being Romans. That's what made them citizens. But Paul is writing to the church saying, you're citizens of heaven, and we should live lives worthy of that. We've already seen earlier in the service, we've talked about the darkness that there is in the world around us. It's a dark world. If you just look on to verses, in chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, Paul says this: do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Paul encourages us to shine, to be careful about what we say and how we say it, to be upright and not crooked, striving for justice, living a life of love with consistent integrity, upright character and loving nature. What we do will speak of the gospel. Or if we live a life that's not in line with the gospel, it will muddy the gospel. So there can be things that stop my compass from pointing magnetic north. In fact, a magnet or a big piece of iron in the very close can stop my compass pointing in the right direction. And there's an African saying that's this: I can't hear what you're saying because what you are doing is shouting at me. And I think we know that's true, isn't it? If our actions don't back up our words, people may not hear or may not listen to what we have to say. So let us avoid those things. We can live worthily of the gospel or unworthily. What we do will either help or hinder those around us from tuning in to hear the gospel message. I wonder if you noticed in the reading that Paul is speaking here to the church, that it's a corporate responsibility for all the fellowship together, that we're to be striving together. Look at verses 27 and 28. I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, and so on. He's saying strive together, work together, to behave like this together. We need to, therefore, to be working together, don't we, to encourage one another as a fellowship, so that we're speaking to those around us, to our neighbours, through our lives lived together. Some of the social and neighbourly things that we need to be doing together. Concerned about justice and social justice, about family, about our society here, working together, standing together as one, striving together as one. And this will speak to those around us as a sign to them, speaking of salvation and judgment. And then Paul goes on to remind them that this won't be easy and that there will be suffering. So at the end of the passage in verses 29 and 30, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have." So we have to, in looking for our magnetic north, realise that there will be suffering for us through it. So there we have it, the advance of the gospel. The reminder that death is something good for Christians. And that while we live, we're to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. It's very strange, but I can tell with other people when they're not living in a manner worthy of the gospel. But I fail to see my own shortcomings. I don't notice myself whether I'm conducting myself in a manner worthy of the gospel. So we should ask ourselves the question, are there things we need to sort out? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to point out where we need to change and the positive things we need to do. Have we sorted out our own moral compass? Are we living in a manner worthy of the gospel, aligned to it?